from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Jimmy, don't say I didn't warn you. I told you what would happen if you took June Whitfield to a rehearsal of your brass band. The ear specialist has only just pronounced her cured.
Do you think I haven't been reproaching myself, Bentley? You know that rather than cause June one moment's pain, I'd gladly cut off my right moustache.
That wouldn't help you, Jimmy, except through narrow doors. Jimmy, you've got to do something positive if you're not to lose June completely.
Well, that's why I've bought this large box of chocolates. I happen to know that they're her favourite chocolates.
Yes, but there's only three left in the box.
Well, they happen to be my favourite chocolates as well. I don't know what else I can do. Frankly, Bentley, I find women a terrific problem.
So do I. But they're the kind of problem I like wrestling with. Oh, look, now here's a suggestion. Have you thought about trying to make June jealous?
Fancy you thinking of that.
Oh, it all comes down here, dear.
You mean sort of taking somebody else out to dinner? Well, you talked me into doing that last week.
Oh, yes. And I didn't thank you for a very lovely meal. Tell you what, then let's enlist Alma Cogan's help.
Good, yes.
Yes, I thought of that too. After all, she's a woman.
Bentley, that is the understatement of the year. Do you think she'd know about June's feelings?
Yeah, let's call her over. She might well have the lowdown.
No, she wore that last week. Still, it might be worth a try. Hmm. I say, Alma! Can you spare a moment before you tear off your cantata?
Of course, Jimmy. I'd spare any moment for you.
Alma, my dear, we'd like your reactions. You see, Jimmy here, he's fallen desperately in love.
Yes, yes.
With June.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Gosh, Jimmy, you know what's happened. Alma's fallen for you.
Well, what strange twists fate does play. Without knowing it, I appear to be what might be termed a... Farmer Fatale.
Yes. And so you are too, but don't you see what it means as far as we're all concerned? It's the old eternal triangle.
Yes, and Jim's in the old position.
What's that?
Base over apex. Oh.
You make my heart go tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock. Tick-a-tick-a-tock. We squeeze and then my knees begin to knock. Tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock. We kiss and bells go ting-a-ling. I wonder what makes them ring. We kiss and kiss so many times. I hear wedding chimes. I wonder, wonder what I'll do when we have to part. I know what I'll do. Leave you with my heart. Then you can hear it. Tick-a-tick-a-tock. A tick-a-tick-a-tock, like a cuckoo clock. I'll count the minutes, tick-a-tick-a-tock, until we meet again. Make my heart go tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock. We squeeze and then my knees begin to knock. Tick-a-tick-a-tock, tick-a-tick-a-tock. We kiss and bells go ting-a-ling. I wonder what makes them ring. We kiss and kiss so many times. I hear wedding chimes. I wonder, wonder what I'll do when we have to part. I know what I'll do. Leave you with my heart. And you can hear it. Tick-a-tick-a-tock, a tick-a-tick-a-tock, like a cuckoo clock. I'll count the minutes. Tick-a-tick-a-tock, until we meet again.
What, Jim? Happened to be in the neighbourhood taking delivery of a couple of vans. I bought them to brighten up the morning room.
Couple of vans?
Yes, a Van Gogh and a Van Dyke. Well, I thought they'd be nice for the missus. Dangle a little calendar underneath them, you can hang them anywhere.
Poor old wealthy Walt. Your missus still can't settle down to the idea of being rich, can she?
I can't do nothing with her, Jim. Today she's sleeping in satin-lined silk sheets. But does she like it? No. Prefers the raggedy old one we had back in the buildings. Said it had a lovely hole at the bottom. She could hook her big toe in and turn herself over without getting her arms cold.
It's tough while it's tough. Money can do many things, but it can't buy you poverty. Why doesn't she invite some of her old friends around from the building?
Tried it, Mr. B. Had Jim's mum and Mrs. Hackett yesterday afternoon. Give them a real high-class spread. Served them 2 cups of tea each. One for drinking, one for biscuit dipping. But I don't know, there was an atmosphere.
There always is with Mrs. Hackett. It's her work in the tannery, you know.
No, Jim. It's an uneasiness, Jim. Oh, started when the maid handed round them wafer-thin cucumber sandwiches what we rich nibble of an afternoon. Well, you know your mum, she don't reckon a sandwich is a sandwich unless it takes both hands to hold it shut.
Oh, nonsense. The mater is generally very comme il faut.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but she'd certainly had a few. No, it just didn't work out. When your mum had gone, we decided you can't bring back the past.
You found the old camaraderie was missing?
Quite. Also the silver cake stand and the lid off the butter dish. It's all a dreadful mistake.
Oh, mistakes? Hey, don't we, Dunners?
Oh, yes, sir. For example, we think the BBC made a mistake. As soon as the newspapers disappeared recently, the BBC tried to fill in the gap by giving us extra news bulletins. Well, sir, as far as we're concerned, the very last thing we turn to in a newspaper is the news. What we missed most was the cartoons, the horoscopes, and the Helping Hand column. Why didn't the BBC keep us up to date on those? Thus.
Your stars and you. Those of you whose planetary influences are ruled by Scorpio, Thursday is a bad day to get run over by a trolley bus. Finally, a word for those born under Taurus the Bull. You can come out now.
Let me help you. Your problems answered by Dr. Brian Wimpole, West End psychiatrist.
Dear Dr. Wimpole, if a gentleman is walking with two ladies, should he walk in the middle?
No, the two ladies should walk in the middle. Next.
Dear Dr. Wimpole, how do I cure my filth of blushing? Whenever I'm in company, I blush. Whenever I'm alone, I blush. All the time, I blush. What should I do?
Think about something else. Next.
Dear Dr. Wimpole, what does a man have to be buried with full military honours?
He has to be dead. Next.
Dear Dr. Wimpole, I have been going with a boy who is very short. He also has a long nose, big feet, and insists on going everywhere in full evening dress. Should I marry him?
Under no circumstances. He is a penguin.
Tithe's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary folk trying to do the right thing. Today, their talking point is the trouble about being engaged that it's like trying to drive a car with one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake? Over to the Glums.
Lost its magic. Oh, I'm afraid, Ron. All this bickering lately. Perhaps you're too used to me. Ron, have I lost my mystery?
No, eh? It's under the cushion with my Wild Western.
Do you love me with exactly the same love as when we first fell in love?
Well,
Ed... Oh, no, Ron. I want you to think about it before you answer.
Right, are we?
think, Ron?
Yes, eh?
Think hard, Ron, because it's very important for both of us.
Yes, eh?
Our whole happiness may depend on your answer, Ron.
Yes, eh?
Well, Ron?
I've forgotten what the question was, eh?
Here I am, trying to recapture that wild, untamed flame we used to share. And all you do is... Oh, what's the use? I feel like giving in.
Right, Owl.
I don't mean that.
Just a kiss, eh? Go on.
Oh, no, Ron, not with your face all chocolatey.
Hello, hello, hello. I didn't knock in case I missed something.
Can I ask you a very frank, intimate question?
Not half, eh?
Ron, at the rump.
No, it's about Ron, Mr. Glum. About Ron and I. Mr. Glum, do you think we've altered? I mean, towards each other. Has there been any difference in... Well... Our relations?
Well, frankly, I've always tried to avoid your relations. It's nothing personal, but I just can't stand the sight of them.
Now, Dad, what's worrying you is that her mystery's under the cushion and the flame's gone out.
Well, I'm not surprised she's worried, but, I see what you mean.
Thank
my
you,
boy.
Dad, thank you.
That's it, is it, eh? It's a phase all engaged couples go through, you know. It's more nerves than anything, you know.
Nerves.
You must appreciate, Eth, that when a young fella's engaged to a girl, well, it's a very trying time.
I know, Dad. Just as you came in, I
don't mean that kind of trying. When you first fall in love, you walk about in a pink mist.
Oh, yes, like, Mr. Glum, Ron and I was just...
May I? May I just make my point, please? If you'll permit me to be a little bit poetical. Your love seems, well, a sort of a wondrous, many-coloured thing. Like some exotic hummingbird. An hummingbird that hovers...
Oh, yes, Mr. Glum.
Will you shut your gob while I'm being poetical? How can I be poetical when you keep opening your trap like that? And then, my children, when the hummingbird's hovering, a strange thing happens. As you get to know each other longer, your love alters. It becomes more placid and therefore the more...
We are together, Dad.
I don't know, I keep my hands off him. No, no, no. I'm no good at putting things like this. All I know is that's the way it happened with me and Ron's mum. She'll bear me out. Mama! You know that dog-like devotion you had for me in the early days? Well, how would you describe your feelings for me now? And I'll thank you not to use that language with the window open. There you are, Eph. There's another strange thing.
Oh, what, Mr. Glum?
How quick the hummingbird changes into a scraggy old boiling fowl.
No matter where you go, you never can go wrong. If you bring your smile along, no matter what you do, you'll be so welcome too. If you bring your smile along, and when it comes to love, just put this down. You'll get further with a smile than you will with a frown. Remember, your romance will stand a better chance if you bring your smile along. Smile, darn you smile. You know this whole world isn't a great world after all. Smile, darn you smile.
And right away, what's in your luck, pay you a call. Things are never black as they are painted. Time for you and us to get acquainted. Make life worthwhile. Come on and smile, darn you smile. Life can be so worthwhile, you're never out of style. When you bring your smile along, if you go east or west, you'll mingle with the best. When you bring your smile along.
Though it's been said before, I'd like to say, a smile is your umbrella on that rainy day.
And just remember too, the world will smile with you. When you bring your smile, just bring it along. When you bring your smile along.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please. I say, Bentley, did you read that it's now possible to rent a lighthouse? What the dickens would one do with a lighthouse once you've got it?
Well, you could put an enormous shade on it and make it into a really ostentatious standard lamp. Yes.
But I mean, if one lived in it, it's a very solitary existence. What sort of people would want to live in a lighthouse, Edward?
Oh, ornithologists or seascape painters. Mm. Or comedians, you've just done a television series.
Yes.
It's a pretty nerve-wracking life, you know, even for a lighthouse keeper.
Oh.
In fact, if you'll kindly leave your nerves in the rack provided, we'll show you.
Thank you.
What was the secret of Shivering Rock? Shivering Rock, the grimmest lighthouse off the storm-tossed shores of Cornwall. Cooped together in the almost intolerable loneliness of the lighthouse's one bleak room are the two lighthouse keepers. They have been sitting silently at a bare deal table since dark, just staring, staring, staring. Finally, the younger one speaks.
Jabez.
Arr.
Are you sitting on my rug, Wool?
No, I bain't.
Oh.
And torment shall be their lot, and it shall be as red hot fires, yea, even as the torment red hot fires.
How big yours?
Bunyan.
Bunyan?
Ah, it's hurting again.
Oh. What's the time?
The time be 40 minutes past the hour of 7.
Oh. What's the time now?
41 minutes past the hour of 7.
Oh. And how long is it before my relief is here?
Another 8 months.
Time passes slowly, doesn't it? When was it I got here?
6:30. You've done exactly 1 hour and 10 minutes. Trinity House got no right to send a lily-faced lad to Shivering Rock!
Well... to be quite frank, I'm partly to blame myself. When I answered the advertisement, I thought it said, man wanted for light housekeeping.
Don't he know that one man has already met a strange and terrible doom here in this accursed lighthouse? Caleb Tregarthen. Caleb. 40 years Caleb and me worked together. 40 years tending lamps without once getting on each other's wick.
Caleb Tregarthen, that's the man I was sent to replace. What happened to him?
One night of darkness, the great light went out. It went out just when we needed it most.
A ship on the rocks?
No, a couple cuddling in the promenade shelter. We had our binoculars trained on them. Hop them spirals, tear to the lamp platform, rushes Caleb. 2 hours I waited. But he didn't come down. He never come down. He were never seen by mortal eye again.
What a strange, uncanny story. It's like something out of Edgar Allan's shaving mug.
Ah, and that weren't the worst of it. By the time I got the lighter going again, the young couple had opted.
Yes, but Caleb can't just have disappeared. I mean, there must be some perfectly natural explanation. Perhaps he ran up the spiral staircase too fast, forgot to stop at the top, and screwed himself into the roof.
No, oily semi-likely. I tell ye, forces of evil are at work here. Shivering Rock Lighthouse, be haunted! Haunted! Oh, it's the front door. What mortal man can be a-knocking on the door of the wave-lashed lighthouse 12 miles from the shore?
Perhaps it's a Bobber Job Sea Scout.
I know there's somebody at home. There's a light burning in the upstairs window.
Boy, Snives and Snossel and Foy. That be a woman, if my memory serves me right. Unfasten the bolt.
Retribution is at hand, Jabez Edwards.
Tis Hannah Pengallion, Caleb's intended.
Arr.
Ah.
Arr.
Arr.
And where could I learn the truth? Where would I learn the truth about what befell my Caleb? Only by sailing across the stormy waters towards Jabez Edwards and his broad beam.
Oh. You came here alone in that frail cockle shell? Was there no one with you?
Only the cockle. And who be you, with your strange soft eyes and your mass of pale blue curls?
Mass of pale... So that's where my rug wool got to. That's right, I remember now. I put it in my peaked cap. Miss Pengallion, I'm here to do what your fiancé used to do.
But I hardly know he.
Ah, get he gone, woman, you bain't staying here.
Oh, yes, I biss. I'll not leave here, Jabez Edwards, till I get the answer to the riddle of Shivering Rock. Arr, I knew the secret was locked in the black art of Jabez Edwards. As I stood there, I could see he was a man afeard. His mustache had fallen over his mouth, so that when he spake, even his voice was strained.
Don't he keep glaring at me like that? Don't keep staring at me with them great reproachful eyes.
I wasn't even looking at you.
I weren't talking to he. I'm talking to Mrs. Shuffelwick here. What do he want of me? What have he come here to torture me for?
I want the answer to one question, Jabez. Where was Caleb when the light went out?
You were the only one present, Jabez.
I confess. Caleb didn't just disappear. I gave him the push.
The push?
Ah, out the lighthouse window. While he were looking through his binoculars at that couple in the promenade shelter, I hated him. It were him who reported me to Trinity House when I turned the lighthouse beam downwards so I could read in bed.
My Caleb pushed out the window in his prime.
Oh, no, he were fully dressed. When I looked out the window, Caleb disappeared. He just ain't there. There was nothing in the sea, and there's nothing in here, I'll swear. I've known this right out since it was a boy.
Then where is his body? Look, I... Oh!
Hello.
The door!
Oh,
Caleb!
Here, who pushed me out the window?
Well, he's alive.
You bastard!
Caleb, what happened to your body?
Oh, he fell on the diet yacht. He been to Monte Carlo and back.
Oh, Caleb, now you're back. I've got so much to say to he.
Aye, and I got summer to say to he.
Oh, what do he mean?
What were you and that chap doing in the promenade shelter?
Benowitz and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes. David Dunhill was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the scripts, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell.
We all invite you to tune in again next week and
take it from